Well, you know Chancellor Robert Kiett. I don't say much about him. I call him Golden Toe. Not to his face so far. Would you welcome, please, Chancellor Robert Kiett, University of Mississippi. He is the man, ladies and gentlemen. Chancellor, you can a term that lasts forever. You look just like your book cover.
Yes, sir. I found one exactly like it on the way in, and it has an inscription to you in it as a reminder of your trip to Ole Miss, as if you needed one. So I hope that you'll enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
And I need to do, I have one other gift to make to you.
Yes.
It is Lafayette. It is not Lafayette. They think it's Lafayette, but they've got it wrong. I'm from the Mississippi Gulf Coast, near Louisiana.
Okay.
And it's Lafayette.
Well, so. you got them French speakers down
yes,
there.
Sir. Yes, we do.
Okay. So
yes, sir.
That's a little bit different. I don't want to get into this controversy. I do have something here for you, and I don't want to spring this on anything, but I know the mascot thing, you know, yada, yada, yada.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the old rebel and that stuff. Now they got the bear thing. But I thought, so I've been working on this problem. And look what I came up with here. The old bear.
All right.
Put the bear in the old rebel suit. Let him lean on a stick.
There we go.
And it's finessed. It finesses the whole situation.
There you go. That's right.
How tired of you, the whole mascot thing.
Thank you. Either finesse or avoidance. Either one.
There are much worse mascots. You know, like the Boilermakers.
Yeah, that's right.
Ever see them?
I've seen the Boilermakers.
Yeah. What is a Boilermaker mascot? What is that thing?
I'm not sure about that.
Is that supposed to be a Boilermaker?
I think that's one of those eternal questions that we'll be asking forever.
So, kicking 50-yard field goal in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Is that sort of ranked number one on?
Number one for me.
Yeah.
I went there with my family. We had one family vacation.
Yeah.
And I went there when I was 12. And my father said, one day I'll come see you all play in Yankee Stadium. We said, right, you know, we're from Moss Point, Mississippi, down on the Gulf Coast. And exactly 10 years later, I was at Yankee Stadium kicking the field goal. So what a thrill that was.
Yeah. That was the record at that time, wasn't it?
At that time it was.
Yeah. What are they up to now?
Oh, about over 60, more than 65 yards now, I think.
Yeah.
Tom Dempsey kicked the first long 63-yard one.
Yeah.
And then it's each year it gets longer, and they get stronger, and they get better, they being the kickers.
Well, no, they changed the ball.
They changed
the
ball.
The ball is slipperier than it used to be.
Okay.
But you started as a lineman, right?
I did. Actually, there's sort of a cute story about that. The coach at Tulane told me that if I would come to Tulane my sophomore year, I would be starting at fullback. And I said, if that happens, you will win no games, and you'll lose 10 if I'm your fullback. So I was a lineman.
Yeah. Alignment. And then when did you become the place kicker?
When I was in the seventh grade, my father took me out in the side yard at our little house, put two nails in the ground, leaned a football up against it. He licked it and showed me where on the ball, just below the center of the ball, to kick it and said, practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
And so I did.
Yeah.
And I started in seventh grade, and I did it the rest of my, until I was 26. Uh-huh. Sometimes I did it successfully. Sometimes I failed miserably.
Do you still practice?
I don't practice anymore. I can't get my leg down. I can get it up, but I can't get it
down. So you end up goose-stepping if you do that. Huh? That's not what you want, really, in that situation. Plus, didn't you have the record for most field goals in a game?
I don't believe so. I doubt that. I don't think I have any records for anything except controversy, maybe. I may hold a record for that.
But you were all pro and everything, weren't you?
I was. I was.
You must have done something right.
Well, I did that year. That first year, 1960, was a wonderful year for me, but not for the Redskins.
No.
At Ole Miss, I played 4 years and played in four losing games. At Washington, I played in 19 games my rookie season, and we won one. We did tie two. So we only lost, 16?
Yeah, but, you know, so you must have been the only pro, all pro from the team that year.
We actually had one other person who was a fill-in, a wonderful man.
A fill-in made all pro.
Well, somebody couldn't come, so he came.
Oh.
I was so glad he was there. I needed somebody to be with me.
Oh, cool. and did you, you only stayed, 3 years?
Well, I played, four seasons.
Yeah.
I had a strange illness. The second year.
The pancreas.
Yeah, pancreatitis.
Yeah.
And almost passed on.
Yeah.
Uh, Learned some great lessons being real sick.
Yeah.
About people taking care of other people and
yeah.
some almost miracles, a miraculous healing. And by the next year, I was able to come back and play. Now, whether that was smart or not, I doubt.
Yeah.
But I wanted to play, and by goodness, I could make $11,000. Why should I not do it?
Yeah. In today's money, that would be like $12,000.
About 12.
That was before the unions, and they used to.
They were forming the union then. Of course, I'm from the Deep South. I was opposed to the union.
Naturally.
Why would I want to make $500,000 a
no.
year?
No. For kicking a darn ball.
That's right.
That's ridiculous. And then you wanted to be a doctor, right? Wasn't it?
I wanted to be a doctor. Yeah. I suppose every young person has an idol in high school.
Yeah.
And I had one. His name was Gene Wood. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I was always messy. You know, I was always needed.
Look at me now.
You look great. And you know nothing. You're just this. I don't know how you do this when you're as nervous as you are about this radio show. You just get through it. But anyway, I had an idol. I had Gene Wood, and he was 4 years older. He always looked pressed and clean, made straight A's, played quarterback, was handsome, and was coming to Ole Miss to study medicine.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, golly, if Gene Wood is doing that, I'm doing that too. Only I didn't know that freshman chemistry stood between me. I visualized myself delivering babies in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then I met Professor C.N. Jones, Charles Nevin, which means cyanide, C.N.
It's like Breaking Bad.
That's right.
Oh, was there something beyond that?
Oh, there's a lot beyond that. That was a bad one.
So that chemistry is what killed you as far
well,
as...
Well, I took some... here's the line. Coach Swayze is recruiting coach.
Right.
We want you to come play football for Ole Miss. I want to be a doctor.
Right.
That's fine so long as it doesn't interfere with football, which was good. So the idea was to come to summer school and take the lab course and get it out of the way so it wouldn't interfere with football.
Yeah.
And we had 10 weeks of it. And I had never been exposed, never had seen a slide rule... I had never seen a logarithm table, and there weren't any magic electronic instruments at the time.
No.
And so if you can't work logarithm tables or use a slide rule, you can't solve the chemistry problem.
Okay.
So I was in pretty bad shape when we started. And the first day he used...
So, but you can still be a lawyer, right?
Well, I had a chance. Yeah. Actually, when I left, finally got out of chemistry, and they started using the English language, I was ready because I understood it. I just didn't understand chemical formulas.
But
I did do one thing that I thought was commendable, but he didn't. I memorized the chart of elements.
Cool.
I knew every. I still know them.
Yeah.
Can't forget them. I wish I could. But that didn't impress him. When I made 8 on the final exam out of a possible 100.
Yeah. Was there a curve?
I said, but Mr. Jones, I memorized the chart. He said, a bad word, okay?
Yeah.
Bad word.
Bad word.
So, but get out of here and don't come back, and I'll give you a D minus. I got out of there as fast as I could.
That was generous, though.
I will tell you one little piece of that. Now, we had a friend, fellow football player, who made the same D minus that I made. And he said to Mr. Jones, he said, by then we were calling him cyanide. We said, he said, cyanide? My God, are you going to give us a D minus? And he said, yeah. He said, well, if you're going to give us a D minus, give us an A. Don't give us a D minus. We don't need a D. So anyway.
A minus.
Yeah.
You
D
know,
minus.
Take the minus. And
I
the
knew,
a.
Don't you know that I knew that I was destined for academic greatness when I made that first D minus? Don't you think? I was going to be a stellar student.
just in compensation, I think, for that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, if you go to a doctor and you're sitting there in your skivvies on the waiting for him to come in, they always leave you waiting there for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
For some reason. And you see that he was a football player on the wall there. I put your pants back on and get out. You know, this guy is not gone to any classes and, you know.
That's right.
What the heck? That's not true, though. Like, Mississippi, they made you go to class and...
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, you had to go to
total line.
If you didn't go to class, there were 67 rows in the stadium, and you could see how many times you could run them without stopping.
Is that right?
Yes, sir, at 5:30 a.m. If you really were egregious, if your behavior was egregious, they would give you a tablespoon of peanut butter at the bottom of the stadium and let you run to the top and digest it before you got to the bottom because you're going to get another one when you got down there. So, but that was the days before We were so sensitive about being correct in every way.
Yeah. We're over that now, though, aren't we? I think that's pretty much
Yeah, we're beyond that.
Yeah, that's a good thing, too. Never thought about coaching?
I thought about coaching until I was with the Redskins.
Yeah.
And then I realized that this is not what I want to do.
Why were they uncoachable, right?
Yeah, well, some of us were. Some of us were uncoachable. Yep.
That's great. That's great, though. And then, of course, back here in Mississippi, you were here for the glory days, actually.
Actually, I was here. I was here from 56 to 60, and we had wonderful, this is and has been a wonderful university. Mm-hmm. When I was here, the Vietnam War had not kicked in. The civil rights movement had not really kicked in. Mm-hmm. President Eisenhower was in office. It was a quiet, peaceful, lovely time. Mm-hmm. Now, we were way out of step by being segregated, and I think everybody understands that was wrong, but that's just the way it was. Yeah. But we had great football teams. We had wonderful faculty. We were small enough, 3,000 students, where we knew each other, and we enjoyed going to school. I mean, it was
3,000 students?
Yeah, 3,000. No cars, no television, no internet, of course.
Yeah.
So we were pretty much on the campus, and a date was a walk to the library. And back to the girls' dorm by 7:30, by golly.
And you couldn't go in, right?
No, not unless you knew the left window just outside.
That's now known as the Cayette window.
Yeah, well, there were others. There were predecessors. They taught it. It was passed down generationally.
Yeah. I see RK initials on that window. Yeah. I go over there and check that out. Golden toe. They still call you golden toe.
Well, I missed a field goal at Tennessee one day.
Oh, yeah.
I'd been being called Golden Toe all year, and the headlines in the state paper said, Golden Toe turns to brass, in letters this big. And the only time that was equal to the Washington Post, once against the Bears, I kicked a ball that never left the ground. It spun on the ground like a top. And so the headlines, they went back and got Japan bombs Pearl Harbor. They got that print. It said Kayette fizzles. And so those are the two clippings that I've kept.
Really?
To keep me humble. I have to, I need to be humble.
Yeah. Are you not naturally humble?
No, I'm naturally humble.
Well, that's good too. And then did you actually ever practice law?
I did.
Or did you just
almost
run
the 7 years. Yes. No, I practiced. Couldn't get it right.
What kind of law did you practice?
We general practice. Small town, law firm, everything from A to Z that came through the door.
Now they specialize.
They do. And I think it's smart because it's hard to know the law. There's a lot of law out there.
Yeah. You're not Jewish by any chance, are you?
No, I'm Lebanese, but I guess I could have been Jewish.
Could have been because that's our whole thing. If you're not a doctor, then you're a lawyer.
That's right.
Got to do one or the other. If this doesn't work out, then I'm a lawyer.
So. Well, I'd like to be a radio announcer, actually.
Yeah, if everything else fails.
If I could be funny, if I could be cute like you and funny, I'd be good.
You'd be very good. You should be on TV, though, because you got that look, You could be an anchor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at him. Do your anchor look once. Give him.
Do I sit on the tail of my coat like this with my coat?
Yeah. Over to you.
I saw that movie then. Yeah.
Over to you, Sarah. You have to do small talk then. That's her thing. So then, and then you got, because you didn't get to be dean of the law school, you ended up being chancellor. Was that consolation prize or what?
I don't know. Maybe so. I think it needs to be underscored that not only did I not get to be dean, I was voted unacceptable.
Ah.
It's one thing to not be chosen.
I know.
It's another thing to be unacceptable.
That's like that fizzles thing.
Yeah, so that kind of messed around with my attitude about myself for a little while. And then within 15 months, I was chancellor.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest gift ever made to me. And it happened in 1995 when a lot of things that were positive were coming together, and our university had been in a slide for a while, really since 1962. And so we had no way to go but up. And one of the things I knew was I wanted people to work with me who were better at what they did than I would be if I did it. And then I wanted to give them authority to make decisions, and then I wanted to give them the credit.
So then you don't have to do anything.
That's right. In fact, I built a golf green in the backyard of my house and hit chip shots all day.
And pretty good at that, I bet.
No.
Chip shot is good.
No.
No? Not at all? Well, that's good. That's a good philosophy. But really, being chancellor, isn't it mostly about talking the elderly out of their money.
Well, it's not mostly.
Entirely. It's entirely.
Well, it's not mostly that, but there's a good bit of that. And they don't necessarily have to be elderly. I mean, yeah. Any age qualifies. A newborn baby with wealth is a candidate.
Right. Who's that in the crib, with the crib there? Oh, that's just the chancellor. He's changing her, and then he's going to hit her up for money. So, but, you know, like the place that we're in right now.
Yes, sir.
The Geraldine C. Ford Center for the Performing Arts. That was a tough sell. Huh?
Well, it was an amazing story. Yeah. Actually, there's a portrait right there when she was a young woman. She was from Georgia, moved to Mississippi, married a man, then he died. And she was very wealthy, and she had no connections to Ole Miss. And she had two compelling interests. One was the prevention of cruelty to animals, mm-hmm. and the other was to prove that Shakespeare was a fraud, and that the 17th Earl of Oxford wrote every word attributed to that plagiarist, William Shakespeare.
She could be
and
right
then those it. People on the faculties at these universities were perpetrating that fraud, and she wanted to do something about it.
Yeah.
But the real story for me on this, and Ole Miss and this, is that I had a friend who was a lawyer. Lawyers are great people.
Some
of them. Well, anyway, he was able to get me in her door because she didn't like to talk to people who were seeking gifts for universities or anything else other than the prevention of cruelty to animals. Her name was Gertrude Castillo Ford, and at the time I went to see her, 1984, she was about 78 probably. 2 o'clock on a June afternoon, I drive up to her house in Jackson's most exclusive neighborhood, all these mansions. And there's this little buff brick house down in the bottom. It's 12 feet below the street. And so I've got my little blue suit on and my red tie, and I'm ready to go. I walk down the here, and I get to the front of the house, and on the left is a dog run. It's got 11 white chihuahuas in it. And they are raising cane. They don't smell great either, by the way.
No.
So I knock on the door, and she comes to the door, and I'm a little bit stunned at first because she's tiny. But she had on a nightgown inside out with nothing on under it.
How old was she at this point?
About 78.
Okay.
I
want to adjust the mental image.
I was about 55. Anyway, she has a drink in one hand that appeared to be a highball, and she had a cigarette in the other hand, and her glasses were in the end of her nose. And her voice was gruff, maybe from smoking, I don't know. But she was an angry lady, really a wonderful lady, but she was angry, and she was eccentric.
Yeah.
And she said, "You must be Mr. Canoe."
Yeah.
I said, "Yes, ma'am, Miss Ford, I am. I'm Mr. Canoe." She said, "Well, Canoe, that other little so-and-so from that other place wanted in, but I wouldn't let him in. But Mr. Davis, the lawyer, said you're okay, so welcome. Come in. I want to teach you something, Canoe." So she takes me back. This is all the truth. She took me back to this sunroom, and there was no air conditioning, and I had on that suit. And it's hot as a mischief in there, and she's drinking and smoking and talking about the Earl of Oxford. And I'm sitting on this ottoman, and 4 hours later, I am dripping wet, and I know more about that Earl than you can imagine. And I now believe Shakespeare is a fraud.
Yeah.
But my job is to go back to Ole Miss and convince the English faculty that they should host. That they should host a symposium proving that Shakespeare is a fraud. Well, anyway, I didn't do it. But she said, "Canoe, I like you. I got a lot more to teach you. I want you to come see me some more." And I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, that's what I will." So I did. That was in 1884.
Yeah.
So we rocked along. And finally, I said one day, I said, "Miss Ford, please don't put all that money in one foundation. I mean, in one account. Just for the animals. I mean, they're human animals who can use help as well as chihuahuas."
Chihuahuas,
right.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, "Well, I'll talk to Mr. Davis about that." Well, they created a foundation, and she named some great trustees. And so in about 1995 or 6, after I'd become chancellor, I walked into a trustees meeting, and proposed that they give us a performing arts center and name it for her, and they offered $3 million. And I told them that $3 million was wonderful, but it wouldn't begin to build a performing arts center. How much do you need? I said, $25 million. We don't have that. I said, let me ask you something. Is this not an in perpetuity foundation? And do you not have $100 million in the corpus? We do. I said, why don't you let us issue bonds, and you pay us $1 million a year, and we will build the finest performing arts center in the state, which Mississippi really needs, and Ole Miss does. And so we are able to welcome you and your wonderful group to this first state-of-the-art
facility.
That's
why you're the chancellor all time.
I don't know. Anyway, well, thank you. I
mean, that's that, whatever that ability. That's like place-kicking, isn't it?
Thank you, but it took real vision on the part of those trustees to do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of...
But you know where to put the nails, where to put the ball.
Well, I did. My dad, and to how to line up.
Where the laces go.
And you've got to be lined up. You've got to get those shoulders straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, stay focused.
And this, for a woman, what did she call Ole Miss? What was her nickname?
Oh, Piss. She did. She said, I'm not giving a dime to Ole Piss. But my darling wife hosted a reception for her at our house.
Yeah.
We had a great time. Of course, her dress was inside out.
Oh,
we
my
helped
God.
Her. We helped her get that right. But she was eccentric, but she was smart as a whip.
We should mention the book. We should stress the book, The Education of a Lifetime. John Grisham says it's engaging and unflinching. You got him, because you taught him all he knows, right, basically?
Well, no, but I did teach him torts.
Yeah, see?
I had a great experience with him in torts.
Yeah. Without torts, none of these books would have occurred. Yeah. Robert Kiat, Chancellor, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
So great to meet you.
What a pleasure.